Hitler took for the DMT. Stalin took for the DMT. Mao took for the DMT. The DMT. Hitler took for the DMT. Stalin took for the DMT. Mao took for the DMT. The DMT. Hitler took for the DMT.
Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of the Friendly Geordies podcast, and the reason I'm playing the Alex Jones DMT Electro House remix is number one, because it's fucking hilarious, and you should look up his whole thoughts on DMT and the elites of the world taking it. It is mind-opening to say the least.
Almost as mind-opening as actual DMT itself.
That was what he was saying, and I completely agree with him as well, when he was going, I don't need to take DMT, folks, I'm already there.
Yeah, he's already running at 120%. Like, you...
What more do you want from him?
I think he'll just explode. If he takes DMT, he'll become matter. Like, he's already matter, but, like, you know, like, he'll become the Buddha, I feel. He'll reach nirvana in a second.
Surely Alex Jones would definitely time travel. He would go right back to 1776 to Benjamin Franklin signing the document and just be like, I just want to tell you guys, keep up the good work, and then come back to our time.
Yes.
The thing that I would like to say about it is that there was just this one musing that I was having, and Ali, you're the perfect person to ask this. Everybody seems to be fine with wearing a Stalin shirt or a shirt that has Mao on it, but nobody wearing Pol Pot shirts.
Damn.
What's up with that?
I think, like, okay, so people, have you seen people wear, like, Mao shirts?
Yeah.
Okay,
it seems kitchen camp. You can definitely imagine a hippie at a growers market festival rocking that out and getting 50-year-old babes with it.
I think, from what I can think about it, there's probably two reasons that I'm thinking of. One, as simple as that, I think there's, like, a marketing failure from Pol Pot's end. Like, literally as simple as that. Like, I don't think
so Mao and Stalin were in it just to sell shirts?
No, not just to sell shirts, but they had, like,
but Shea definitely was. Look at his stupid curly long hair. He was definitely that kind of a douchebag, yeah, wasn't he?
He was.
Like, man, you're taking DMT, man? Man, we should start a shirt business, man.
No, just the fact that Mao and Stalin were, like, rulers of Russia and China, which are pretty big. So, like, their marketing was way better than Pol Pot. The other thing which I think might be the reason is that I think Stalin and Mao were definitely way more ideological than Pol Pot. Like, Stalin and Mao, I can safely say, were both genuinely communist. Like, as in, they actually believed in everything that they were doing, which is to destroy the market. And as, like, a byproduct that all of that fucking
shit
happened.
Is that their whole mission? That was it.
Yeah, dude.
To, like, destroy the market.
Yeah, that was... Well, I've studied Stalin more. And Stalin's... That was Stalin's mission, actually. His biggest issue was when, like, the Soviets took over Russia, the whole of urban Russia was pretty much under their control. But rural Russia, like, farmers, were just... They were still capitalists. They had their own market. And, like, Stalin... That's what, like, all the forced labor camps were about. And that's why so many people died. Because, like, he wanted to destroy the concept of markets in Russia. And you can imagine that's a very, very... Talk about radicalism. that was very rad. And he genuinely believed it. And as a result, so many people died. He didn't actually go out there and kill them himself. They just, like, died of starvation. Because they were, like, growing whatever. They would be, like, growing some vegetable that would give them a certain amount of money. And then Stalin would say, no, stop doing that and make chairs. All of you will make chairs from now on. And then they can't sell chairs because nobody's buying them. So, like, that sort of shit. But, yeah, that's in his mind what was required to be. Pol Pot, on the other hand, I feel like was just like your standard Asian dictator. Like, he wasn't that ideologically motivated. Or maybe he was. We need, like, an expert on Pol Pot to say this.
All I remember is there's this guy, and it is so gratifying to see it because he has that classic balding top head with extremely long hair at the back, like George Costanza's haircut mixed in with Fabio's hair. You can imagine him playing magic cards and being great at it.
Yeah.
But instead of investing all of his time into learning the difference between a wood elf and a dark elf in that game, he's instead studied Pol Pot and Mao. He classifies himself as a Maoist. I can't remember his name, but he's on YouTube and he's surprisingly big for somebody who holds those views. Nobody's a Maoist anymore.
Oh, you'd be surprised, man. There's a lot of... Dude, like half of India is under Maoist control. Like, would you believe that?
Why specifically Maoism? What was so attractive about killing 60 million Chinese people?
It wasn't...
Do they just hate them that much?
No, I think... So, like...
They're rude to us in their corner stores.
Well, Mao was popular in that area, so because of his strategy, which was different from Stalin. So Stalin, as I just said, that he was like the Bolshevik revolution was like pretty much a urban revolution, right? Mao's idea was different. He was saying that we don't start from the cities, we start from the villages. So we go out into the villages and start.
And who's worked better, man?
Yeah, and who's worked better, right? And that was obviously very appealing for like India, that has like a huge rural or had a huge rural population.
So is that like, the difference between Maoism and Stalinism? Stalinism was take the capital, and Maoism was a grassroots communism.
In a very simplistic way, yeah, we can look at it that way.
The Chinese Bernie Sanders.
he was far from it though, man. This is like it was funny. I was reading it, I was watching Slavoj Žižek on YouTube, like I do quite often. But so he was like,
you are obsessed with him at the moment.
Not at the moment, but
it's
like
great to see that that is your version of how people are just. I just love the band Aqua. They're my guilty pleasure.
Yes, Slavoj is my guilty pleasure. Even though, like,
your
I don't
Krispy Kreme glazed donut.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Like, I shouldn't be listening to too much of that guy, but I do anyway. Just because, like, he's mad interesting the way he talks. Anyway, so, like, he made a joke, which was pretty funny about Mao. So he said that some Maoist dude, Slavoj was basically saying that, dude, Mao was a maniac. And this guy was saying, okay, let me put it this way. Mao was 20% bad and 80% good. And Slavoj responds to that by saying, A, that is a ridiculous way to judge him. And second, even if I do agree with you, it's probably the other way around.
Let me put it to you this way. How does the 60 mil figure fit into 20%?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I was thinking. Like, how can you quantify someone's ethical standards? But like, Slav, the good point that Slavoj made was that even if we could, I bet it's the other way around. He was 80% bad and 20% good.
Because he was saying this guy, the Maoist guy was saying that the reason most of Pol Pot's deaths occurred was not him actively going out and killing a third of Cambodia's population. It was actually that they were under famine before he took power. That was a massive reason of why he was able to take power. And then he realized, well, you guys aren't doing anything in the city. What, you work at a post office? Get the fuck into the fields, man.
Yeah, forced labor. Yeah, these are the same policies that the communists were following everywhere. So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I say Pol Pot wasn't an ideologue. Whereas, like, he was following, like, you know how Australia would follow America's system on banking? I don't know, just because, like, they think it's a good way of doing things. Like, countries sort of follow each other all the time. Yeah, and Pol Pot's idea was to follow Stalin, who himself was crazy. So you can imagine a guy who's not that committed, but he's still pursuing these policies. I don't know, maybe he was committed. If there's any Pol Pot fans out there, which A, I would like to meet you in person because I think you're highly endangered. And second, if you are that, can you please comment on it and say why I'm wrong about Pol Pot? I would want to know that.
Anything to do with Pol Pot would be great. If you've got like a bumper sticker on the back of your car that says "My kid roots for Pol Pot," if you've got a shirt with him just saying "It's a communist party," and you've got him with a streamer in his mouth, something like that, you got to get in contact with us. We really want to know anybody who can defend Pol Pot. The only other person that I've ever heard do it was my friend whose mother is a very well-respected journalist in Australia, her parents were so left in that 20s way left.
Okay.
So the first time that she bought her, my friend's dad, to their house for Christmas, the very first time they did that.
Yeah.
It was all this news was coming out about Pol Pot killing off a third of Cambodia at that moment. And her mum and dad were defending Pol Pot.
Man, that's what that tends to happen, especially with like older lefties. This is a very, very big problem.
I know.
Dude, like even my dad, who's like, like he's pretty fucking capitalist now, but because he was like growing up in the communist era, like if you...
Yeah, just as a quick spoiler to everybody who's listening and hasn't heard the backstory yet, Ali's dad tried to bring about a communist revolution in Pakistan, got really close, and then thought, okay, that didn't work out, fuck it, if you can't beat him, join him, and became a banker.
Oh, God. That is actually... true.
Yeah,
except for the part that he almost brought a revolution. I don't think he was close to it, but...
Oh, it was this big, his story of that, where you just come up and you're like, you should have seen the catfish I got, honey.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And, like, so, like, I would talk to him and I would, like, say, like, I am also, like, a lefty, but because I didn't grow up in those days, I explained to him, like, Dad, that was... like, what are you talking about? Stalin was a maniac. And he was like, no, he would try to defend him as much as he can, which in it is, like, it's a troubling sight altogether. Like, a fairly intelligent man. Anyways.
Oh, my God, it's true. It's just a really extreme version of when you try and convince your auntie or your mum who's going, no, John Howard got us into a surplus.
Yeah.
They won't let it go.
They won't let it. Like, and it's hard, man. If you grew up in the times when you thought, like, communism was the answer, like the Einstein's theory of everything, then it's hard to give up on that, man.
Oh yeah, for sure. Actually, I've gotten a newfound, it's just a hilarious thought in my mind as an old leftist with still one of those Ho Chi Minh hats on.
Yeah,
keeping the revolution rocking in their own mind, kind of like our parents think that Jimi Hendrix is sick. Just their version of that is just these monsters of history.
That's right. Because for them, they were like against the mainstream grain of capitalism.
What a far more extreme time when everybody now is freaking out. I'm going to go, oh my God, a reality TV star just became president. Tumultuous times.
Yeah.
Come on. That's true, actually. How much more tumultuous was the 20s?
Yeah, how much more tumultuous was like Germany before Hitler when... they were like, they had two options, fascism or communism. And like, the fascist...
Yeah. As opposed to now, where the options are just, we should be taxing the rich slightly more, and everyone goes, nuts.
No!
This guy's crazy!
This guy is a maniac, yeah. A radical communist Marx's best mate is now asking... an increase in 2% corporate tax. Can you believe it? That's 2%.
Cracking down on immigration?
Yeah.
Where's the police resources coming from?
Yeah, and like...
this is the extremities of today.
Yeah, look at our struggle. Look at us trying to like convince them, please, make it 3%. Well, please. And like, and being considered a freaking leftist, or like a radical communist. Man, I love how Bill O'Reilly refers to Bernie Sanders as like as like
communist.
Yeah, as a dude, if it was up to him, he would say that Bernie Sanders is the reincarnation of Karl Marx.
I've seen that was great when he was still a threat to Donald Trump, how he'd come out on podiums and say, this socialist / communist, look, I'm the only one that's saying it. No one else is saying that what he really is. He's a communist. Yes.
He's a cuckoo. He's totally cuckoo. And man, I freaking hated whenever he'd go on like late night talk shows with like Stephen Colbert, and then he would say this shit, and Stephen would be like, "Really, really, is that so?" Dude, shut him up. He is not Marx's reincarnation. Can we set the record straight? Like, that guy fucking lost because nobody defended him, who was like a mild socialist, who was by all means a New Dealer, just like FDR was.
It's not even that, right? Like, he is actually more to the right of some Republican like Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, like, it's
yeah,
it's
like,
crazy.
Yeah, he's not even... Exactly. To say that he is the reincarnation of Marx, but he's not even going as far as a president, a Republican president from World War One in Taxi Rich.
Yeah, man.
Where the fuck are we?
But you know, that's...
How did this happen?
But back in the day, when there was, like, two options of, like, either communism or fascism, the thing was, like... Moderate social democrats had to like come up with some really good ideas, and they came up with the concept of welfare state. The idea of welfare state was to avoid a communist revolution. Like, we cannot keep them in this, like, the current system wasn't working, so like, we need to give them welfare, because if we don't, we're gonna attract a communist revolution. So like, if shit goes, like, if there's like really bad stuff that could potentially happen, we can get our act together. Now, we're dealing with, like, the most radical person, Bernie Sanders, is saying, like, we need to have single-payer healthcare system, which every Western country in the world already has. Like, that's the extreme.
Communist.
So, obviously, you're going to end up with Obamacare. Like, if he was saying, no, we're going to take over and we're going to nationalize everything, man, I bet you there'll be a single-payer healthcare system.
How amazing is it that over time, where they gave out the welfare system as a cheap, cost-effective way of staying in power, that they figured out in the 80s, hang on, we don't even need that. We can just give these people Beverly Hills 90210.
That's right. That's what happened, man.
Slowly take this away
while
they're watching Dallas.
And pretty much, like, after the fall of Soviet Union, if you think about it, like, after the fall of Soviet Union, that's when the welfare state started eroding, because there was no communist threat anymore.
Yeah, there was no way, there was nothing else in the world propagating that life could be this way.
Yeah, life could be this way. And it would, like, whatever was being propagated just wasn't scaring the shit out of the establishment. So they gave up on it. Yeah, that's exactly right, man.
That was actually a really interesting discussion that was completely off topic to what we were originally here to discuss, which I think is much more important, especially seeing as 'tis the season. What do you reckon about Christmas, Ali? How good is that to just... I love it when we shift gears and we start off in fifth gear and we decide, no, first is good, first, while we're driving to, you know, the centre of Australia.
Yeah, as in, like, man, like, I have been experiencing Christmas since 2012, because before that, Christmas was just not a part of my life, right? So I have, like, I don't know, I have a different perspective. Maybe it's also because,
that's
like...
That's great. Muslim perspective on Christmas.
Muslim perspective. Like, dude, I didn't even celebrate Muslim holidays. Like, I'm just a holiday-less person, unfortunately. But anyway.
Okay, so it isn't a Muslim's perspective. This is the Grinch's perspective.
Yes, that's right. It's the Grinch's perspective. Dude, I hate it. Just...
of course you do, Grinch. Why wouldn't you? It's so loud and noisy. Up in your ice cave where it echoes throughout the really small chambers.
Yeah, I can consider my, like, people often call me the Grinch, and I've stopped saying this anymore, because, like, I feel like I'm ruining everyone else's fun. Everyone else's hypnotic trance fun that they're doing without even realizing what the hell is happening around them. Anyway, so, like, so when I came to Sydney, right, in 2012, I started working at, like, my uncle's Porto's. And that's when, like, Christmas time was, like, the worst time of the year in terms... Because, like, there were so many people. Like, it was so much workload. And you had to hear those freaking Christmas carols since October. And, like, okay, can Christmas step up their music game? Can please Christmas step up their music game? At least that. Anyways, but that's not the reason why I don't like Christmas. We are just literally every year at this time of the year... People that are on minimum wage, people that are earning quite low amounts of money, transfer their wealth to large corporations like Coles and Woolworths for buying gifts that are going to be in the bin in like the next 3 weeks.
It's always a disco ball, as you pointed out.
Yeah, it's always
why
that.
Why does every family get a disco ball for Christmas? Every
time.
It's not that good.
It's ridiculous. And it's a trap. It's a trap. Like, so, like, at my workplace, we had, like, the Secret Santa thing. So I got a gift of, like, a fan, like a USB fan that would go into your computer. And it would, like, it's barely useful because, like, it would literally throw out just a minute amount of air, right? It's useless.
Having said that, though, way better than what you gave your Kris Kringle. You gave your Kris Kringle pants from Lowe's.
Not pants, shirt from Lowe's. A Hawaiian corrected shirt.
Everyone needs shirts.
But that's right. Like,
and they need pants as well. You can get them at Lowe's.
Yeah, you can get them at Lowe's. But then that's the point. Like, I never wanted to, but I'm like, I'm trapped into it. So now I'm like, I have to give gifts. And like, because by giving gifts, I'm just like taking money out of...
Is that why you hate Christmas? Because you have to do something.
No, it's not that I have to do something. I just don't like the idea of like everyone unanimously just deciding that we're going to give all our money to big corporations. That's like my biggest issue. And like,
you
for
definitely see it in the advertising. There is no point throughout the entire year that Coles and Woolworths is more happy than they are at Christmas. The jolliness.
Because it's their money-making time. That's when they're happy. Obviously, they would be happy because you're giving them all your money. And by the way, and they're rich. So,
and as you pointed out, every Bogan you ever see always has their shopping trolley is overflowing with gifts.
That's right.
There is a trail of breadcrumbs as to where they're going. They are the Hansel and Gretels of Big W.
Yeah, and like, okay, so when I worked at that Aporto, this was in Mount Druitt. For those of you that don't live in Sydney, I know you know what Mount Druitt is, so I'm not going to explain what it is. it's a shit suburb.
To our international listeners, it's basically a Sydney microcosmic version of Detroit.
Yeah, worse.
Nothing is going on there. In some parts, cops don't even go. And to the parts that cops do go in, do you really feel any safer?
Yeah, you
may
you
as
don't,
well not.
Man, I'm like, I consider myself like a brave person, but I wouldn't go to Mount Druitt after night. Like,
we were discussing this as part of the podcast because we heard that Mount Druitt Station, of course it would be haunted if there was anywhere in Australia that would be, especially as a public transport utility. You can tell a lot of people have been stabbed on that station.
Yeah, they never for have sure. To... Dude, you can see like blood stains and shit.
Yes. It is unfortunate that... Yeah. It is a please stand behind the yellow line as opposed to a red line. And I bet you that there's been many a trained person that thought, like, that while they're painting that, being like, man, why can't we be an alien species of praying mantises that ooze yellow pus when we get stabbed? But we wanted to go there at night because we hear that there is a ghost that comes at about 12 a.m. to 2 a.m. of this girl in... How hilarious is this? A pink Adidas jacket. Of course, it has to be Adidas. If we're talking there. As soon as you go past Strathfield on the train line, at least half the passengers have nothing but Adidas on.
Yeah.
And so, Shep-shadash. Yeah, when you get to, like, the end of the line, which is where Mount Druitt is,
yeah.
I don't think they know that any other clothing brands exist. It must just be like you go into Fiji and every single store is Chicken Express.
It must
just be that. Foot Lockers as far as the eye can see.
It is that, because I worked at their mall, right? And it's a really, really small mall. And like, which has like a few shops, which is right. Foot Locker, Macca's, which is like full always. It's like there's lines to reach and get like a cheeseburger. And everyone wants cheeseburgers there. Nobody goes after like the Anchors.
That's
which is
great. A permanent iPhone. They still haven't gotten over it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's got everything you need and nothing more. Yeah. Cheeseburger. When you pull down the shutters for the shops there, do they always have meaningless graffiti splayed in huge writing across
it? Dude, there's graffiti everywhere, but one part of my contract was that I am not going to close. I am going to leave before the day ends. That place... Anyway, so coming back to Christmas, I remember when I was working at Mount Druitt, I remember this guy who would sometimes come to a porter. Like, you could tell that he's, like, on social benefits. He wasn't doing that well, and he had, like, a big LCD screen in his trolley, and it was like just before Christmas. I was like, hey man, like,
why'd you stole it?
Yeah, no, not that you stole it. I know he didn't, but he's like, I was like, why'd you get that for? And he's like, oh, it's for Christmas, man, for gift. And I was like, dude, like, but why? Like, how much was that for? And he says, like, I don't know, $600 or something, like some ridiculous amount of money. And I further pressed on. He's like, well, why'd you get that though? And he was like, oh, it's that time of the year, you know, that's what Christmas is for. And that's when I was like, man, are you fucking retarded? So, like, at one point of a year,
I mean,
you're going to give up all your savings that you could need at some point. Like, what if, like, I don't know, what if there's a medical emergency? I think this way. Maybe I'm dumb in that regard, but like I think this way. Like, what if you had like a medical emergency that for some reason your Medicare couldn't cover?
It's not dumb thought. It's mum thought.
Yeah, maybe. Whatever, but like ever since I just got repelled by Christmas, I'm like, dude, you're like, it's just a money making scheme to rip off really poor people.
I can't disagree with you. That's a really sad story. Is that guy pulling up to you, going, you know, 'tis the season?
Yeah,
you're preying on well meaning dum dums.
That's right, and you're
like, they're the nicest people. It's that theory that the best person, the people that people want to hang around with most are those that are most like a dog. And ideally, out of all the dogs, what you want the most is a stupid, nice dog. You just want two traits out of them, dumb and nice.
Dumb and nice.
That's that guy.
Yeah,
you don't want any harm coming to that guy.
And he's being ripped off. Like, and from that left, like from January onwards, he'll just be strapped for cash. And he didn't have to get that else. Like, you could get like a smaller TV, man. Just because it's on sale doesn't mean you have to get the biggest thing ever. Anyway, so like that's the reason why I like the idea of that everyone's happy, everyone's festive. I don't mind that. But I just mind the fact I don't like that everyone is like people are being ripped off, man. And it's a trap, right? So like I got a gift of that little table fan, which was like the dumbest shit ever. But some person paid $15 to some company that mass produces this, like gets like little kids to in China to make these little fans, and then this guy paid $15 to that company, and then I have to also spend like $15 to get him something. I don't mind the idea of giving him a gift, but why is this? It's kind of like, you know, like okay, so there's a Muslim holiday where everyone has to do sacrifice of animals. And like, and you need to.
Come on, don't you think that buying the cheap, shitty Chinese fan is better than that?
Definitely, definitely. But that's what I'm trying to like. I'm trying to compare this. I'm trying to say like how both of them are fucked up. So,
why are we comparing this?
No,
to
I'll
is clear. I don't want to do that ever.
No, fair enough. I never did it.
Slit a lamb's throat.
I never did that. But it used to happen. So what would happen is the idea of that holiday was that you would sacrifice like a lamb or like I don't know whatever like a cow or something, and then you would give the meat off to poor people who couldn't afford meat, generally speaking, right? That was the idea of it. Anyway, that was the idea of it. But I don't mind giving food to poor people, but what I do mind is mass slaughter on this one particular day. So every poor person gets to have insane amounts of meat for just one day, and they don't have like freezers to so they can't keep it for long, so they just have to consume it like a dog. And that is just crazy.
Satan is looking at that and thinking, man, why didn't I think of that punishment myself?
Exactly. So and in that regard, so what I'm trying to compare this to is that I don't mind the idea of the festivity of Christmas. What I do mind is this mass consumption and just transfer of wealth from the weakest to the most powerful in society. Similarly, like that Muslim holiday, I don't mind the idea of giving meat to poor people, but I do mind the idea of mass slaughters and like force feeding people because it's like they go crazy.
You're like meat, eh?
Yeah, so you're like meat, eh?
All the meat in the world.
Here's a cow. Like rich people giving off their guilt. Like it's stupid. Like I'm so glad. Like ever since I was born, my dad has been like showing it in my ear that how dumb this festival is. So I personally have never celebrated, but everyone around me did. Everyone would like sacrifice, and like the prestige was the more you kill, the better you are, which in itself is bizarre. Like, because apparently, the more you kill,
that is very ancient world.
Absolutely,
nobody gets props anymore for killing heaps.
I know
anybody who works in an abattoir now is an ice addict, and everybody always thinks, well, yeah, I'd probably be taking a lot of smack if I worked there as well. Nobody holds these guys up as, I've always said that Australia's stupid for holding up cricketers as the icons of our country. Could be worse. A guy that's just like, you have no idea how many cows I've clubbed, man. Guess. 30? No, 50. Holy shit.
Holy shit.
That's a lot of souls, man.
So wait, what do you think about Christmas? Maybe I'm being a bit harsh here, and maybe I shouldn't talk about this, because like, I don't know. I just started experiencing Christmas.
I agree to a large extent. And if I was, as soon as I become the patriarch of my family, I think I'm going to take the advice of... I think that the best Australians, in terms of raising a family, are always thrifty mums. They've got it down in every regards. Okay, so I've got one friend who always used to... never gave away gifts in Christmas wrapping. They'd always just put it in a pillowcase and they go, well, it's just a waste of paper and a waste of money. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
It's a really good point,
it's
man.
It's a good point,
and it's like so easy to do.
Yeah.
Saves so much time. So there was that. And then the other thing that I think is... I think I'm going to take it one step further. Dude, the Boxing Day sales. I don't understand. It's one day after. Why don't you just celebrate Christmas on the 26th? Why don't we all do this?
Yeah, man. It's like...
we should be all suggesting this to our families is don't... just wait out a day. And then you've got something to do after lunch as well. Because everybody always... after the turkey, what do? They have a nap. And then they have the young nieces coming up to them and going, no, you have to play in the new kitchen that I made. You're like, man, I really am not in the mood for that right now. Please. I am just as full as those homeless Pakistani guys that have just been given a full cow for different reasons.
Yeah. Hold together.
Why are you doing this to me? On Boxing Day, you could go, sorry, I've got no time for that. I'm going to watch the third Hobbit, even though I hated the first two Hobbits.
Why does Hobbit always come out? Dude, I feel like my opinion on Boxing Day is completely identical to Bill Burr's opinion on, like, Black Friday sales, which is like, why don't you just accept the fact that you can get an above-ground pool at the normal price, $10 more, like a gentleman, the next day? Like, man, Boxing Day sales and everyone going crazy, that... I hate that. I'd much rather go on like the 28th or the 27th of December like a gentleman, pay like $4 more than what I would have on Boxing Day, and like maintain my dignity.
I do have to disagree with you because I always used to watch that cattle rush as soon as they open up the blockout shutters for Maya on Boxing Day every single 26th, that they show that on Channel 7 News, where they go, the Boxing Day rush was amazing. This three people stampeded to death.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the weird part.
Yeah. Consumer confidence is extremely high. Just look at all the bodies. It's like that, yeah, it's that kind of idea that we have about it. But I've got to say, Jesus, it's fun being in that rush. And especially the darting eyes beforehand. Fun? My grandma dragged me out, I think, maybe three Christmases ago. I'm always shaking her. Get up, you old clam. We've got to go, for God's sake.
Damn. Dude, I hate
you've got disabled parking. We've got good access to this.
Yeah.
I really like it, man. I've got to say that it's a rush of life that you don't get in the modern world anymore. There is an
man,
actual
it's the
feeling
worst
of
kind
desperation
of
and anger in the air.
Yes. Like, and people were being trampled over to, like, get into Kmart. I don't know what the point is.
You legitimately do that. When it opens up, it is like Japanese people rushing to get into work on the bullet train. And you never get that feeling in Australia. Remember, it's too sparsely populated.
Yeah. All right, so... all right, maybe I'll look into my opinion on Boxing Day. I did go to Boxing Day sales last time. I took my mum.
Why?
Dude, because, like, I took my mum to Boxing Day sales because, like, me and my brother wanted to get her something. And she, obviously, like any woman, is really excited by the idea of sale. So I went there. But, dude, it was crazy. I literally just got, like, this was at the Pitt Street Mall. And I just said, listen, I'm going to go out on the street and I'm just going to chill there. You can do, like, I'll pay for the stuff, but, like, I cannot be here anymore. We'd like literally, because you had no place to stand. Because at Boxing Day sales, what you need to do is like you constantly need to like look for shit, right? And if you're like me, which is like this dude who's just standing at the back, just waiting for other people to select their stuff, it's the most awkward position you can be in. Everyone just like, if they could, they would just stick the middle fingers. Like, why are you so unproductive right now?
Dude, it is your problem. The thing is, and even from your analysis of Christmas, you are way too Marxist about it. It is the most capitalist day of the year in the most capitalist society that has ever existed. You have to get amongst it.
Yeah, I have to.
You really need to be in that because it does... You know how they're always saying that capitalism just plays on the evolutionary traits of human beings?
Yeah.
You do feel like a human being at their rawest when you're just going, oh, no, you don't. That's my mixer, you son of a bitch. Batting them to death.
And, like, today I was talking to someone at work and I was, like, telling them... they were asking me, oh, how do you celebrate Christmas? I just say, man, like... I don't know. I might just like volunteer for some homeless because I have nothing to do on Christmas. So and he was like, so I was trying to like argue that how Christmas is like I was being Grinch essentially. And then he eventually just giving me this excuse saying like, dude, you know it's a religious holiday. So like we have to say. I'm like, dude, it's not even fucking religious. Read your religion. It's a pagan festival that was like shoved upon you because like you want like. People wanted something to be happy about, and like back in the day, wasn't all consumer. Like now, it's not religious, and it's not even festive anymore. It's just like a mass consumption day.
It's all true points. You can't argue with it. There's nothing you could say against it, and everybody has that exact same feeling. I think after lunch, of there's nothing good on TV anymore.
Yeah,
that's your last thought. You get all these gifts. You get about 30% of what you wanted on your list, and your auntie always goes, I couldn't find you this book, but seeing as you like books in general, this one had... Are you still a fan of Melissa Doyle from Channel 7 reading the news? Yeah, that's you, auntie, but okay. Like, yeah. You're clearly buying this for yourself, and you're a 60-year-old woman. Come on, grow out of that stage. That's something you do when you're 12.
Yeah, and the only thing that I was requesting people around me that everyone has unanimously denied me, which is like, is someone willing to go to the cricket with me? Because like, okay, Australia and Pakistan are playing a series, and I'm not that into cricket, but I just want to go to like an Australia-Pakistan series here, and like nobody around me is willing to do that. Everyone's just like, no, dude, we are not going cricket. It's weird because if some soccer team was playing, everyone would be game. But I don't know why nobody likes cricket around me.
I thought that your entire family would love it,
dude. No, my family, dude. Everyone in my family hates cricket as well. Is this like a very dude? My family is like a horrible stereotype of Pakistan. they hate cricket. They don't like it at all. And then like all my friends hate it. And I kind of hate it in a Marxist sense, where like I don't like the idea of like sports and just like pitching people against each other. And like, because like this is from Chomsky. So like Chomsky says, yeah. Well, sports is just ridiculous. It's just a way to actually pit people against each other. Like I realized that I was rooting for someone that I had nothing in common. It's like it's gang mentality. So like in that sense, I don't like sports.
You like fucking over India,
man. Yeah, that's true, man. Actually, nothing makes me more happy than when Pakistan beat India in cricket.
Tell that they're legitimately heartbroken.
Yeah. and they've been like, okay, back in the day, Pakistan was just bowler at cricket, and they used to beat like India's ass all day, all night. But now the tables have turned, and they beat Pakistan all the time, and I'm not happy about that, man. Something needs to happen. Something needs to change. I feel like we need to do, like, player swaps with Australia.
I love how transparent everyone's opinion on sporting is. Even when it comes to something like politics, which is arguably almost as tribal.
Yes.
As that, there's a little finesse to it. But with this, it's just like, no, I'm from that suburb, so fuck Parramatta.
Yeah, that's right. Wait, didn't you just move to that suburb? Yes, but now I'm there.
I'm not from there. I'm from Liverpool.
From Liverpool, that's right, yeah. Sure.
All right. We have another message from... Citizen Khan. We're using the Blade Runner 2049 music because, first of all, both Miss Love and I, who is not here because he forgot that he had a day shift, which in classic Miss Love style is the main reason why he's always not here. Ali is usually here for reasons such as I am becoming an Australian citizen today. All right, fair enough. Miss Love's excuse every time is I'm a 20-year-old with Alzheimer's. He can't remember basic facts about his life.
Yeah, he's just
a miracle he knows his name.
Yeah, and he hates it as well.
What a human tortoise.
Anyway, I'm going to read out Citizen Khan. This is a very delayed update, but Citizen Khan sent us the message.
And of course, we're using scary sci-fi music to read out all of his messages because he's saying that in America, it's turning more or less into a dystopia with the election of Trump. Which is a very unfair assessment of his extremely articulate messages that he sends us on a regular basis.
But it's fine. It starts... Okay, so... It says, a report from the field. Morale is low. Food is scarce. Anyway, you're welcome. I'm glad that it provides some material for the podcast. I hope you guys don't think I'm too one-sided or completely insane. Jesus, it took you reading my message to ominous music to show just how Alex Jonesy I sounded. Okay. Ali is right about
really
the...
good point for those really low 80s drums to come in.
Ali is right about the bubble, and I completely agree that you have to treat the disease instead of just the symptoms. Globalization hasn't been done in a wise way. We've let jobs go to countries where there are lower wages and less regulation, which in itself isn't great for humanity, and never replace those jobs or provide training for those workers. Plus, people in what are insultingly called the flyover states are fed up with the ruling class in LA, New York City, and DC, forgetting about them. The regressive left and PC culture have made it all worse, but that's another discussion. Miss Love, I'm from Upper Makefield, Pennsylvania. I went to school in Boston, Cambridge, and spent lots of time in New York City, so that's where my bias comes from. As for Churchill, he's a boss. If you're going...
I think we could all agree with that. Everyone on the political spectrum, if you're going to say, who do you look up to, it's always going to be that, and surprisingly, Genghis Khan. I've never heard anybody say afterwards that, no, I don't have respect for the guy. Everyone's like, that guy took Asia, man.
Yeah, no,
he took of Asia.
You can, like, Genghis Khan. He just, like, dude, he was kind of like Trump. You can compare him to Trump in a sense that the rules didn't apply to that man. That's the only thing that he had in common with Trump. But, like, it's true, though. Every rule that you can think of in, like, political history, you have to say, unless there were the Mongols, this is the case.
It's very good thinking about the Asian version of CNN, which would have just been one Chinese guy writing on papyrus paper. I'm imagining something along the lines of that.
Yes.
Basically with an audience of 10 people, and it's gone down to 8. And then there's an Alex Jones equivalent of him somewhere in Japan who's got 20 people that listen to his papyrus writings. Just being like, he's completely going out of his mind. Confucius is losing the info war on the other side. It really supports Genghis Khan.
Yeah. Citizen Khan, thank you for your report from the field. We are glad that we have an unpaid intern in America working for us.
And you're never getting anybody.
Yeah, don't expect anything from us.
Despite the fact that you gave us a gift for Christmas that I haven't opened yet because I'm waiting for Christmas Day, but thank you very much for that, Khan. It's very kind of you. Where's Ali's?
Where's mine?
It probably is for all of us. Again, I haven't really touched it yet because it's just like, ooh, what could it be? There's very few moments in history, just quickly going back to Christmas, and then we will move off it. But I think the last time that you got a surprising gift would have been when you were 10. They just give you so many presents when you're a kid that some of them you weren't even expecting. That's the great part of Christmas as a kid, I reckon.
What was it
like? Most of the time you say, I want blah, 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 blah. You've got a very extensive list. You plan it meticulously. It's the closest thing you will ever do in your life, unless you get into the military, of being a general. It is so well orchestrated in that it's exactly the toy that you want. And you even research where you can get it and put it on there going, I know that this is available. Yeah,
but there's always like a surprise. Wow, WWF WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's like,
yay. Yeah, I do like that, I guess.
I do like that.
It's very exciting. So yeah, thank you very much, Khan.
Yes,
for
thank
me
you very
that.
Much. And about like your point of, I guess, the globalization and robots taking over our jobs. Bear in mind, I'll just make one comment. So in a few years, we'll probably have like robots making iPhones. But there's one problem with that. Robots don't buy iPhones. People have to buy iPhones. In fact, that's actually a good, like, something that we can talk about. I was trying to explain to Jordan of what the two alternate realities could be in front of us, which is either we can live in a world of Matrix. It could be like a real-life documentary, which is scary as hell.
But so much cooler than the very positive alternative that Ali's about to say.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like a Matrix world. How great is that? A desert that is constantly black with the faint and distant rumblings of continuous but huge electrical storms in the distance.
Yeah. And also, like, you're pretty much on autopilot where, like, you don't have to buy anything, so you don't have to consume anything. You just don't matter. You're just lying and, like, thinking about things, which is not actually happening. So that's, like, a possible... That, by the way, I don't mean it as a joke. We could potentially go into that world, which is scary. The alternative is, if we make some good decisions now, we could possibly go into a world of Jetsons.
I like that that's the only upbeat future that mankind has yet thought of. This 60s cartoon for kids that is continuously played to this day, because we got nothing else. That's the only thing we've got to look forward to. And what was so great about it, having a sassy robot that was unnecessarily fat as well.
And why was a robot fat? It just doesn't make sense.
Why did you make it skinny?
Yeah, dude, I bet it was like Seth MacFarlane writing the script for... Because he did that, right? He used to do these Cartoon Network shows. Yeah, it was basically him just like, oh, what if the robot's fat? But it doesn't eat. Why is it fat?
Yeah. I mean, the 60s wasn't like ancient medieval Europe, was it? Where fatness was a sign of wealth. Yeah. And on top of that, robots aren't rich either.
Yeah,
they have no need for money or food.
Yes.
It eliminates the two reasons why you're fat.
Why? It just tells us how we're so obsessed with fatness that we're like, I want my robot to be fat and cuddly. Dude, it's a machine.
Yeah.
It's made of stainless steel. Can we please not make it fat?
Yes.
Hey.
You're going into a false trap by giving it this lovable, sassy maid attitude with your kids. At the end of the day, it's still just like Stephen Hawking's computer machine talking to you. Stop pretending that it's anything but. So there was that, and then the other thing that seemed to be great about the Jetsons that they saw was such a step forward was a golf course that just had a bunch of floating circular green zones.
Yeah, that's right.
That
but
you
they lived
from.
But they I don't know why they were like up in the sky. Maybe they were trying to, like, avoid all the smog that had, like, gathered at the bottom.
That's what you can only come to assume.
Yeah, because otherwise there's no reason to just, like, live in the sky.
Yeah, it'd be extremely cold. Why would you want to live at Mount Everest's altitude all the time?
Yes. I want a tropical beach, baby. What are you talking about?
So that's your two options, I guess.
Yeah.
Is either to become the Matrix, which we've actually said is... a lot of positive things about, despite that that's supposed to be the negative example.
Yes,
that
is.
Scenario.
In my mind, it's a very negative example, because I can actually see that shit happening. Anyway.
You can?
Dude, Matrix is like a real possibility. So like exactly what Citizen Khan was saying, which is like how automation is taking up jobs, right? Automation takes up jobs, but then those people that were doing those jobs aren't earning anymore, so they can't spend money. They can't buy all these Christmas presents that keeps the neoliberal economy floating. So what do you do with them? Go into the Matrix, baby. They lie down and then they just imagine things. So like with artificial intelligence, now you can actually, this is again what Slavoj was saying, but so now he was saying like he was with some Chinese dude and they're doing like research on artificial intelligence. So like they've come to a point where like if you think of moving something, it's connected to like your brain and then that thing would actually move. It's for like paralyzed people. But then Slavoj was saying, whatever...
They get all the bloody perks in life.
Yeah.
I want stuff to move without me having to touch it.
Yeah, Stephen Hawking has all these prizes. Come on, that's unfair. But yeah, so he was saying, but whatever goes out, in this case, like, moving things with your mind, Slavoj was saying, things come back in as well. And he was like, he asked those Chinese people, can you, like, alter thoughts? And they were like, we've got all the hardware for it.
What does that mean?
So that means if you can think of moving something else, someone else can make you move without you knowing that it's them doing it.
See, this is where Elon Musk, I finally do understand what he's saying when he goes, I think that it's highly improbable that we aren't living in a matrix at the moment. But at the same time, when I think about that, imagine being Obama if this was a matrix. You spend so much time studying.
It's so unfair.
Why don't you just, yeah, if you knew that it was a matrix, wouldn't it be great? Because then you could just hack it so you were Elon Musk instead of Obama. Yeah. But if it was real life and you thought that, it just sucks being anyone who works as a politician anywhere, I guess. Because all you're doing your whole life in this simulated world where you could be anything. You could be Brad Pitt if you wanted to be. But you're just sitting there going, like, no, we have to cut back on food stamps. It's just like, why don't you just spend back on the military? Just having that discussion over and over again on CNN and nobody watching.
I think that's good enough proof to say that maybe we're not in a matrix as yet.
Thank you! Surely everybody, yeah, if you were in a matrix, and it would just be normal in that society, yeah. Right, where it's just, well, everyone's Brad Pitt, you know, like, yeah. Everybody's got that job, so we all go and watch that movie, and that's how the economy works. We just all go watch work. Each other in support. It's a year three version of Lord of the Rings economy. where everybody goes and watches you, and they go, did you see me as the orc? Yes, you were very good.
Yeah, man. And dude, I was reading this article that was written about, apparently Mark Zuckerberg is like training a robot with like artificial intelligence. So he was saying like how that robot can like now do a lot of stuff for him, like switch off his lights, turn on his, like, anyways, like, but the biggest problem was that for some reason it doesn't listen to his wife. Like, we don't know why that is.
That's great. They're at the moment at a dog level intelligence. Huge step up from, I can play chess. Can you do anything else at all?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what the first letter of the alphabet is? I wasn't programmed for that.
Yeah, I wasn't programmed. No, apparently it can. So much higher. Apparently it can. Like, you, if Mark Zuckerberg asks, what's the first alphabet, he'll say A. And if, like, his wife asks, he'll say, I don't know.
Awesome. Oh, my God. What have you got against that, though, Zizek? Because it's just a Rottweiler. It's a great dog. It's just, it cares about you and you only.
Yeah, but
Junkyard dog.
Zizek is saying, at this point, it's a Rottweiler. He's saying that in a little time, it'll be a T-Rex.
What, stupid but powerful? That's a really no, it'll scary
be,
combination.
It'll be smart. It'll be pretty fucking smart.
I'm really looking forward to the point that it's about as intelligent as a weather girl working for Sunrise. What a great period of 2 weeks that'll be. It's as smart as a bimbo.
Yeah. Well, Zizek's main concern wasn't that the android or robot technology is bad. His main concern was that sooner or later, that technology will be used to alter our minds. Which brings us back to Alex Jones. I don't, like, Alex Jones was right. They're mind controlling. It's mind control. They can move you. They've got chips in you. Like, dude, apparently that could be the case.
Man, guys, everybody, I know that we've put this call out before, but just in case that there's any new listeners out there, and I really don't think there is, we have the most 80-year-old listenership ever. It's so stagnant, but so bloody loyal. That's everybody that listens to this podcast. They never seem to share it with their friends, but they sit there just going, yeah, you tell them, Ali.
Yeah,
that's your way it is.
Yeah, can the listeners please, if you like the pod, like, comment and, like, how do you do it? Like, I don't know how. Apparently, like, if you review the pod, that increases the visibility and more people can see it. So can you please review the pod on Podbean and iTunes? That will maybe make a difference, or maybe it won't at all. I don't know, but it's worth a shot. Can you please? That's not a very convincing appeal, but can you please do it still? For me, please.
I didn't know that. I wasn't privy to this before that came out. That was very desperate, Ali.
Yes, it was. It was.
I love quick pleases to a microphone. Yes. Let's all come up with a comment together that we can all deem is the official podcast. We're just doing this to boost it. Comment.
Yeah.
God, that was a mind blank and a half, wasn't it?
What's the word again? I said it three times in the previous sentence.
Okay, so yeah, let's just say that the comment is, I found this podcast to be ear, spelled E-A-R, resistible, as it's an audio medium. One exclamation mark. Don't go nuts. We don't want you putting three. We don't want you turning away people.
Yes.
One, I find this podcast irresistible as it's an audio medium is the official podcast bolstering comment. Okay. What else have we got to talk about? Because I think we've got about 15 minutes before we need to get out. Let's move on to... We've already done Christmas.
Well, God, is it? I think this must be a record. I think we've actually managed to finish our agenda within an hour. I think
we haven't. It's just I've written, as usual, my handwriting is illegible even to myself. This happened three times when I was in university, where they said first. The first question was, "Do you need special provisions that I'm not aware of?" And the second one was, okay, then, can you just rewrite your exam? Because I can't read your writing.
Did they do that?
And they gave me an opportunity to do it, which was great because then I could go back and reread. So that's a little cheat code for everybody out there. Just have really crap handwriting.
But dude, do you
it
know
gets
what?
You, it moves you from credit to distinction.
Apparently, like I read this somewhere that like really bad handwriting is not necessarily a bad thing because what it shows is that you're thinking really fast and you're writing it really fast.
And that's what I learned from my 1 week of learning handwriting psychology. So I could try and impress chicks because I learnt it in the game that it's supposed to work, but then I just never had the initiative to follow through on it at all. And then I thought, oh, fuck it, I'll just do what everybody else does and learn a magic trick.
Yeah, and be the life of the party.
No one hates card tricks. Yeah. Everyone hates the setup, though. Every time you say to somebody, oh, you want to see a card trick, everyone goes, all right. But at the end of it, every time they're like,
How did you do it? I know how you did it. I know how you did it.
Yeah, well, don't tell anyone, dickhead.
Yeah.
Leave it to yourself.
Dude, I'm like the worst magician because, like, I know a few card tricks that are actually pretty cool. And whenever I do them, they always say, oh, how'd you do it? And, like, I feel really guilty and I always tell them, man. It is not something that you should do.
A magician never gives away its secrets. Yeah, and like, however, I am not a magician. I just read one passage in a magic book.
Yes, yeah, and like, dude, like, you know how magicians say never tell them, like, a magician never tells its secret? Dude, that's true, because, like, as soon as you tell them how it's done, they're, like, really disappointed. They're always like, oh, okay, all right. It's like, all of a sudden, all of that adrenaline that I just built up is like, oh, back to my boring life, eh? So it makes sense.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
Magic doesn't exist.
I cave in, but please don't do that.
God. Got to find something on that. Really need to believe in magic again. It makes... Everybody always says this. They're always going that... When you get into your 20s, everybody starts replacing that thought of elves would be great if they existed with, yeah, but actually, come on, how good is the universe? It's better than magic and it's real. I don't know, man. I still like the idea of Wingardium Leviosa. I mean, a haunted house is still way more interesting to me than why there is a hexagonal Antarctica on Saturn.
Yeah.
Which I still want to know, but I only want to know if the answer is magic.
It gives you superpowers. Whoever goes close to it can all of a sudden read people's minds.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
How much better would that be instead of them going, well, it's because of a typhoon that has been raging for 1,000 years in a perfectly hexagonal dimension. Yeah, but has it been going in a hexagonal dimension because of magic? That's the only answer that I can categorically say is incorrect.
Screw you. Get out of my face.
Get out of here.
The one answer.
Give me Matt Tarrant, the magician from Adelaide that used to always comment about how shit Tom was, but seems to be very happy with both Holly and Miss Love. And so now he's no longer a dark wizard, he's just a wizard.
Really? He likes us?
I think he does. And I think that he also secretly liked, if push came to shove, come on, you secretly like Tom, admit it, Matt.
Yeah.
The guy, he was on Survivor Australia for an entire season, and he did well. It was really hard listening to a friend, though, be hated on by Sam from Rove and Sam. To all the listeners that aren't in in Sydney, our breakfast hosts on the Today Network, remember Rove McManus from Rove Live? Ali, you wouldn't, but it was our version of The Late Night with Jimmy Kimmel. Okay. But it was on one night, and it was not late night. It was on at 8:30.
Isn't that like prime time, though?
It was. It was basically a noughties version of Hey Hey, It's Saturday. And he, having tried to become a late show host in America and failed dismally, has come back here to be a breakfast radio host with a reality star that has no training in radio whatsoever. And it shows. She is appalling. And she is so untalented when she just sits there for 3 hours a day and they go, what are you doing after this, Sam? Well, I'm going to go and have a massage. How quirky is that? Not quirky at all.
He just wanted to get
you
a massage.
You can get vouchers for that when you get private medical insurance. It's the exact opposite of quirky. It's almost accepted medical practice. It's like saying after the show, I'm going to have a Panadol. No one gives a shit, Sam.
No one gives.
Why are you telling Sydney this? And she was sitting there going, I hate Matt Tarrant. Fuck off. Everyone hates you.
Dude, it couldn't be worse than, like, James Corden, who is now a legit late-night host, who is, like, who's doing pretty well in the sense that some of his segments are getting, like, hundreds of millions of views, which is essentially, like, carpool karaoke. Have you seen that?
Why is that such a hit?
I don't know.
Why are
I don't know.
So stupid that it's celebrity car song?
Yeah, I have no idea. But either way, that's made that guy huge. I remember that when that guy came on, like, TV for the first time. I remember going on YouTube and I seeing this. And I felt so bad for him. I knew that he was going to fail. And I subscribed to that guy because I was like, I just felt... Out of pity, I subscribed to that guy. And then, like, before I knew it, he was big. And I was like, the first thing I did was, you don't need me anymore. Unsubscribed. Because you're shit. Like, you're not good. I just like I
it
felt
seems
bad
to me the way
you.
If you look at the top 100 people that are most subscribed to on YouTube, find me one of them that's good.
Yeah, baby.
Surely.
Oh, and that reminds me, please subscribe to Holsworthy Live. It is
it is our aim to get to the top 100.
Yes, please.
That would be amazing. Right below Rooster Teeth and Epic Rap Battles, two guys with a camera from Kmart. Talking about things that we basically learned off Russia Today.
Yeah, at least it's Russia Today, so you're getting some good value. At least it's not like CNN. Anyways,
that is true.
Yes, Holsworthy Live, it's like a new channel that Jordan, Miss Love, and I have started in parallel to the Friendly Geordie's channel. So check it out and subscribe. Man, yep. I feel like a sellout right now. Like this is like my second pitch. So I've asked them to comment and like share reviews, and now I'm asking them to subscribe. Man, it's your decision. If you don't want to do it, like nobody can stop you. Like do what you have to do.
I think they're well aware of that. I'm pretty sure everybody when you asked both of those favors, 90% of the audience thought, you're not the boss of me.
Yeah, and fair enough. I'm not. If you don't want to do it, it's okay. I can survive. But please do it.
Ali, world's saddest boss.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just quickly move on before we have to get out of here. I think we've got 6 minutes to discuss this. And as always, the meatiest discussion is left for last and is horribly rushed. Here we go. Strap yourselves in. The question is, I've been arguing, as usual, I've made a New Year's resolution. This was the last time I did it because, everybody seems to think I've got a problem with Greens voters because I'm always giving props to the Labour Party.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have anything against the Greens. I think that parliamentary, they're kind of stupid. They make stupid political manoeuvres that actually end up backfiring on them massively. And a perfect example of that is the ABCC.
Yeah.
Them holding out of the ETS instead of saying, no, we actually want to negotiate with you instead of the Liberal Party, which sold out Labor's prospects of being in government longer than two terms. these kind of things are pretty damaging to society in the long run. That's the thing.
Yeah, just before we continue. So the ABCC, it's that it's the Commission on Construction Unions. So basically, it's a liberal way of cracking down on those supposedly corrupt unions. And Greens supported that because they wanted to get concessions on other things. And Labour rejected it because they are union. Anyways.
But that's great. I'm really glad. I've got to say, sucked in that the Greens didn't pick up any seats in the last election. That's what you deserved. And now you've got to deal with One Nation. Now,
yeah,
that's your fault. That is the Greens' fault. That's what I'm saying. They're stupid when it comes to parliamentary procedures.
Mm-hmm.
Now that One Nation has four seats, if it was a normal election, two of those seats wouldn't have been in. They would have picked up two. Yeah. And the Greens actually probably would have picked up one of those seats. They shot themselves in the foot. So anyway, they were talking to me about, as usual, saying the same thing of like, Queensland Labor supports Adani setting up a coal mine. And a massive reason why they support that, first of all, is because it's Queensland Labor. And the best way to describe them is they ain't singing the Billy Bragg anthem on unions at their meetings in Queensland Labor. They sing in Lee Kernaghan's "The Boys from the Bush Are Back in Town." Definitely.
The boys.
And there is a lot of yahoos, yeah, and a lot of gunshots in the air, with a couple of even Bob Catter's members saying, "Where did you even get gums from?"
Yeah. And they watch
keep them as a, "We hid them in the bar back."
And they watch Entourage as like a show to get, for some reason they have to watch Entourage. I don't know why.
And every single year there's one person in the background that says, "Oh, we watched this episode last year."
Yeah, but like, man, that was last year though. Come on, it's recyclable.
The general consensus is, yeah, I guess you're right. So the thing is that Queensland Labor, yeah, obviously they're bad. But this is what I'm saying, is everybody in politics does not celebrate the green lights. Everybody just shits on the red lights. And that's it. They get no praise at all for anything else. So when it comes to Queensland Labor, for instance, as you were pointing out, the massive Carmichael coal mine is so economically unfeasible. This is the thing that if it went up and running, it would push the world carbon budget 0.5% over its total emissions of what the UN has determined. You can't emit any more coal than this.
Mm.
If that was up and running, that one mine alone would emit enough emissions to just completely melt the planet by itself. Yeah, I understand that that's monstrously insane to put that in. I'm not supporting Queensland Labor for saying that they can even go ahead and build it, but that is a marked difference from the Liberal Party that was in beforehand, that sacked 20,000 nurses and teachers to find the funds to bankroll this Carmichael coal mine that once it was up and running wouldn't even be profitable. Think about that. Destroying the world for an entity that won't even make money. Every bank on the planet looked at it and said, "No, we're not giving money to this. This is insane, even from a financial perspective." And now, because Labor said, "Yeah, you can set it up, but you have to come up with the money yourself," which is essentially saying to Adani, "You can't build it then, can you? Because where are you going to get the funds for it? It's
Adani's unprofitable." Okay, there's like an update on that. So like Adani, it's probably not going to pan out, man. This I don't think this is actually going to work out, because Adani's under like corruption charges in India now. So the whole idea was that after China's coal boom ended, which basically skyrocketed Western Australia's economy, the idea was that Indian demand could do the same for Queensland.
I've got to say that when you go back to Perth now, it is like bedrock from the Flintstones. It feels like the cab that picks you up is foot powered instead of gas powered.
Yeah.
That place has gone backwards and fast. The only thing that's thriving there still is Hungry Jack's.
It just wasn't sustainable from the beginning. Anyways, but so Adani is under like corruption charges, and also, which I'm very, very happy about, thank you, India, for this. They're saying like, yeah, I don't think we should look at coal as much. Because they always gave that argument that we're dirt poor and we need coal to make money. But now even they're realizing that not only does it fuck the environment, but it's also turning out to be less profitable.
Yeah.
And Adani is like, they're a menace. So they're actually under charges because apparently they would import coal at prices and then hike them for like local consumers. So it's a dodgy company, and yeah, they're undercharged. So I don't think this Adani deal is actually going to work out. So you probably won't get this coal mine happening in Queensland.
Even if those corruption charges weren't going ahead, which is that sounds like the nail in the coffin for them.
Yeah.
This is the difference. The Liberal Party, on a state and federal level, was willing to put your tax dollars into the Carmichael coal mine, which would not only destroy the Great Barrier Reef, probably be the death sentence for the planet. The Labor Party looked at the economics of the situation and said, okay, actually, we can have our cake and eat it too in this scenario by appeasing the mining industry by going, no, we're pro-mining, but at the same time say, yeah, but we're not going to give you any handouts for it. You have to come up with the money yourself. We're not going to dole you out tax dollars to build this monstrosity.
Yeah.
That's a perfectly reasonable position to be in, because it is essentially saying you can't build this coal mine.
It's perfectly reasonable, because like, it's not even just coal, man. It's everything. So everything that we do, including like our... If you look at your iPhone, right? Every technology, every piece of technology in it, which is solely the profit of it, is going to Apple, is all there because of publicly researched university grants that were paid by the taxpayer. So the taxpayer pays for all the research. Once it's able to make money off of it, taxpayers don't get shit.
Off my ass.
Yeah.
And then I got to line up in the snow for one of these pieces of shit. I don't need it.
Yeah.
And I'll see you when the iPhone 8 out.
If the world was fair, everyone would get like a free iPhone for the first time because they paid for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, yeah, it's like billions
Screw
of
you.
Dollars.
I have to pay twice?
Yeah, because now you have to pay a premium on something that you had paid for already. It's ridiculous. Like, we don't think
it's
about
like
this stuff, man. It's our money.
TV, when you started paying for it, and the whole allure of it was not only do you get more channels, you don't have to see ads. And now all of a sudden they're getting a few advertising sponsors. So it basically goes, Carl's, Bunnings Warehouse, Carl's, Bunnings Warehouse, over and over again. Screw you.
Yeah.
At least free-to-air has a variety of ads for me to look at.
Exactly. And it's at least free. And Bunnings, Coles. Okay, that's where everyone buys their Christmas gifts from as well. Two companies in Australia. Yeah. Like, it's always like, get your dad the nice hardware.
It is a very Australian gift. A hammer.
Yes. A hammer.
Use it's got a million uses. What else after nails? Ooh, I'm needed in the basement. We've got to... So the other quick point that everybody keeps making is that... Yeah, but... Because this is the massive argument that I was getting in recently with people, which is so difficult to argue from my perspective, right? Like, it's very noble on my behalf, I've got to say. All credit where it's due, and it's all due on Jordan, is that I was defending the Labor Party for being in a neoliberal system. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that they shouldn't have appeased to it. They should have picked up the Nordic model. It's such a cop-out. To use Norway and Finland as the benchmark, I reckon. Because, yeah, okay, there's a couple of these little Narnia towns at the top of the planet, of the snow globe.
Yeah, which, by the way, are very neoliberal. Remember when everyone had Nokia?
Yes.
Guess where that came from?
That's what I'm saying.
I'll let you do the research on that.
Thank you. Everybody's always going that, yeah, it's just they're moving to the right. Norway did exactly the same thing. It's just that they have a bigger social safety net than we do, but they're effectively neoliberal countries. When I went there, there was a lot of 7-Elevens there. Yeah, they might have been selling bratwurst sausages at 35 kroon.
But Macca's does
difference.
That too. Macca's Big Mac is called in India the Maharaja Mac. So it's essentially the same thing. It doesn't mean you're not neoliberal. It just
the
means
Taj
that...
The Taj Mahal of burgers.
Yeah, the Taj Mahal of burgers.
It's clearly not.
Dude, it is. I saw it on... Okay, how shit is this? No, I saw it on BuzzFeed. I did. They're like, Americans react to Indian Macca's.
Fuck you, BuzzFeed. I've got to click on that.
It was shit, though. Like, they were just like, oh, this is interesting. It's always the same reaction. Oh, this is interesting. This is good. Just like trying to get the Indian market. It's like so pandering to us. This is great. Dude, it's from India. So it probably took like 24 hours at least to get to you. Macca sucks after 2 hours. What are you talking about? This is good. Like, clearly, that. I'm not saying that Indian Macca is bad, but. What you're having is clearly shit. Just say it's bad. No, this is really interesting. In fact, this is like vegetarian.
Everything is so cultivated on BuzzFeed. And you know what's so gross about it? Even in the name, it's inherent. But just the fact that they're so unapologetic about their lust for clicks.
Yes.
That's all they care about.
Yeah.
And you know when you're watching the content that that was it. It was just... If, you know what they should do with everything? They should just put a title and then having the same black woman. They've always got some black chick. I can't remember her name, but she's just like extremely untalented.
Yes, I know that. Yes, I have seen her. I actually thought of it. I thought of the same thing. Like, she's not even that creative. Like,
I know.
But you know what makes it good? Because she's so untalented, she's the most honest out of everyone else. That is actually true. So, like,
which
she
is
would
why
say,
she's the perfect candidate. Yeah. The idea, which is that every single BuzzFeed video from now on should just say that. They check out the Bangladeshi tiger burger from McDonald's, and then you click on it, and it should be her just saying, gotcha.
Gotcha.
That's it. That's the end of the video every time. I got you to click.
I got you. Yeah, that should be it. I guess that could go viral as well. Maybe that could be the new Gangnam style. Who knows? Just like, just
that is, yeah, that's what gotcha. BuzzFeed is doing every single time. They're just Rickrolling you.
Yeah.
In a slightly more creative way than just showing 30 seconds of that 80s song.
Yeah, it's not even that creative anymore. Like, it started off with Americans react to Indian Maccas, and then it turns out Indians react to American Maccas. Dude, you don't need to react to American Maccas. It is Maccas. It is what it is. And why are we reacting to McDonald's, please? Can we step up the fucking game? Anyways, we should probably end it today. Or
yeah, anyway, in conclusion to my last point, lay off the Labour Party. This is my end point that they always have to cede some ground to. Could you do a better job?
Stalin took for the DMT. Mao took for the DMT. Chris Geo took for the DMT. You think they're all a bunch of old men?
This is the only person I think could do a better job. Alec Jones.
And the point is that their whole science is way ahead. We don't even know what they've got. They're in power because they're taking the DMT. Hitler took for the DMT. Stalin took for the DMT. Mao took for the DMT. Chris Geo took for the DMT. Hitler took for the DMT. Stalin took for the DMT. Mao took for the DMT. Chris Geo took for the DMT. You think they're all a bunch of old men? They're in power because they were into this stuff 70 years ago. The DMT. They were jacking DMT 70 years ago. They were injecting